All right. Our next speaker is JJ Allaire, the CEO of R Studio, who's going to show us R Markdown notebooks.
Thank you. Again, here today to talk about a thing we've been working on for the past few months called R Markdown notebooks. Some basics about R Markdown. I won't actually go into depth about it. For those of you who haven't seen R Markdown before, I think you'll get the idea from the demos that I do. But R Markdown is basically a system for weaving together narrative, analysis, code, and output to create production quality documents. It uses Markdown for writing. It uses Knitter to take R code and turn it into various types of output. And it uses Pandoc. So why R Markdown? Why are we doing this? What's the motivation? The motivation is that data analysis has consequences. And in the contemporary world, that is more true than ever. And so it actually creates an obligation for us to make our data analysis trustworthy. And in fact, in John Chambers, the first chapter of his Software for Data Analysis book, he calls this obligation to create, to do trustworthy computing and trustworthy data analysis, the prime directive. So that's why we're doing R Markdown, because when we communicate the results of our analyses, they need to be transparent. We need to be able to see the code that produced the analyses, and they need to be reproducible. If the data changes or our method of analysis changes or assumptions change, we need to be able to reproduce them in a deterministic way. So that's kind of the motivation for R Markdown. There's a lot of history, and we actually heard about a very, probably the most significant part of that history yesterday, literate programming. But R itself has had a system for reproducible documents and reproducible research for almost 15 years. That's SWEAVE, which combined R and LaTeX. There's been a lot of work that's been done in Emacs and ESS around combining text, code, and output. There's the Pandoc and Markdown and Knitter projects. And then there are these computational notebooks like IPython notebook, Beaker notebook, Zeppelin, Sage. And all of these projects have been sort of evolving in parallel and influencing each other for a number of years. So that's sort of the historical context in which R Markdown and R Markdown notebooks sit. So let's talk about the relationship between R Markdown and notebooks. I mean these computational notebooks like Jupyter and Zeppelin. There's actually probably more similarities than differences between R Markdown today and notebook systems. They have a reproducible workflow by default. They have this weaving together of code, output, and narrative. They have some way of adding interactive widgets. And they have a notion of getting your notebook or your document out to different formats. So many similarities, but some important differences. And I would highlight these are really differences. They're not intrinsic differences. They're differences in emphasis. So in R Markdown, we've emphasized batch execution. We've emphasized reproducible batch execution to create documents. We've used a plain text representation of our notebooks, which is helpful in a number of ways, which I'll get into in a minute. And we've had this focus on creating production output. On the other hand, the traditional computational notebooks, they don't use a plain text representation. They use a structured data representation like JSON. But they have this really, it's a very interactive focus. The output and the code are married together. The output's inline. The output is cached across sessions. And you actually have a file that combines code and output in one file. So those are really attractive attributes. So the world that we would like to live in, we actually don't want to give up any of the things we like about R Markdown, but we want to have the things that these computational notebooks have. That's where we want to go to, is to have all these things, have a system that works well in batch, as well as a great interactive system. I'll show you some of the work that we've been doing in a minute, but I really wanted to highlight this, the plain text representation. There is no special application or special editor for R Markdown. It's just a text file. So that means whatever editor you use to author R scripts, you can use for R Markdown. And in fact, there are modes for most popular editors for working with R Markdown. And the fact that it's a plain text representation also means it works very, very well with version control. And then the other piece that I highlighted was this focus on production output. The R Markdown package produces documents in many of the formats you'd expect, Word, PDF, HTML, but it also produces presentations. The system of output formats is extensible. So there are other packages that implement other formats. There's a package called Articles that does various types of LaTeX journal articles that you can author with Markdown. There's a Tufte package that lets you do handouts and books in the style of Edward Tufte. Those are also LaTeX based. There's now a system for writing books with R Markdown called Bookdown. And there's now a system for writing dashboards with R Markdown called Flex Dashboard. So we've really focused on output formats, batch execution, plain text, all those are great things, but we still don't have this interactive notebook experience that you see in some of the other notebook systems. So I want to demonstrate a little bit of the work that we've been doing in our studio around this. I want to highlight that all the things you're going to see here work in our studio, but the underlying APIs exist in the R Markdown package for other front-end environments to also implement the same sort of interactive notebook that I'll show you here. So we'll start with an R Markdown document that, as you can see, it has code chunks, it has text. And if I go to run a chunk in the document with this, the notebook work that we're doing, the output shows up immediately in line. Here's another chunk. And in this case, what I want to highlight here is as I change things and tweak things, I get the output immediately, and there's a really nice immediacy. It's sort of even more immediate than you get in the typical REPL, where the code and the output are right next to each other, and as you change one, the other changes instantly, which is really nice. So that's text output. Obviously, do a lot of work with graphics. So I'll start here with sort of the simplest possible ggplot, and I'll work with it by adding a couple of geoms. And I see the output, I can see a lot of smooth. And again, it updates immediately. So as I'm working on building up my plot, I can just edit code, execute it, see the results in line. As I kind of go back and forth through the document, I may want to work on another part of the document and return here. I see it, my output as a reminder for what I did. I don't need to re-execute it or re-knit the document as a reminder of the output there. I can take the output, I can roll it up, I can expand it, I can remove it, re-execute it. And there are lots of tools for, you know, expanding all, collapsing all, cleaning up all the chunks, that sort of thing. Okay, here's an RMD file that already has some chunks in it. It's got a few plots. So if I close this file and then I go and reopen it, you'll see the chunks are still there. So those output chunks actually survive the R session. They survive opening and closing the document. They survive the R session. There's even a way to move those across machines. So again, if you've got a document that's got lots and lots of code chunks, you don't have to reconstruct it every time by knitting. You just see the output that you last had when working with those chunks. So this document is set up as a notebook. But I can also knit it to any of the R Markdown formats that are available. So here I'll just take this same notebook document and I'll make a PDF out of it. So when you're working in a notebook, you're really just working in an R Markdown file, and I'll get into what a notebook file output file looks like, but you can render any of the existing R Markdown output formats. So let me get into a little bit of more what this concept of a notebook. If I set my output format to HTML notebook, what happens is that whenever I save the document in our studio, it's actually going to construct a file side by side with the RMD file that's an HTML file. So let me show you what that looks like. To remove this here. Okay, so it's going to create this. You probably can't see the typeface, but this is an HTML file. It has a special extension, nb.html, which means it's a notebook HTML file. Now, if I share this with someone else, I put it on a web server, I put it in Dropbox, I send it as an email attachment, and someone else wants to view it, they'll see the document. It looks like a regular R Markdown document. It has a few extra things. It has the ability to show and hide all the code, and it actually has the ability to download the source code. So this is an HTML file that I've shared with someone. They can just read it and interpret it. But if they want to get the code and use it, they're able to do that. Now, that's someone who doesn't have an editor that can edit R Markdown. If I have the same file and I open it within R Studio, R Studio is going to recognize, oh, that's not just any HTML file. That's a notebook. It has the source code, and it actually has output in it. And so what Austerity will do is actually open it as an RMD file. You can see it's laid down an RMD file on disk right next to the NVHTML file. And you can see as I look in it, the output is already there. So we have this single file for representing source code and output, but it's actually an HTML file, so it's very, very easy to share. And again, we preserve this attribute of the source code is an R Markdown document that's plain text that can be edited by lots of different editors, and that works well in version control. So I've shown text and graphics. The same system works with HTML widgets. So here's a R Markdown document that has a few interactive HTML widgets. Here's an interactive time series. Here's an interactive D3 heat map. And you can interact with these directly in line in the editor. Here's a leaflet graphic. So HTML widgets work really just the same way that plots and text work in the notebook. We also have tools for working with other languages that you typically use with R. One of the tools most principally used with R is C++ in the RCPP package. So here's a notebook that has a C++ code chunk. And then it has this is actually the purpose of this notebook is a benchmark. So it's got a C++ implementation, an R implementation, and then the benchmark. So I can say run all. And it runs the benchmark and shows the results. So that's working with C++. One thing I wanted to highlight was if you are accustomed to that knit workflow where you build a whole document up from scratch, you want to make sure that the side effects of computations don't influence the output. There are tools to say run all, and there's tools here you can say restart R and run all the chunks. So it's essentially equivalent to a knit where you start from scratch, you have a clean environment, and you build everything up from scratch. So you have that option, but you can also just work interactively. Another example of working with a bash script and Python code and feeding the results of all that into R. This is a bash script, really simple. It's going to concatenate some files together, so I'll execute that. And here's a Python script that's going to use pandas to do some filtering and selection on the data frame or on the CSV file. It's a pandas data frame. And then we use the Feather package, which is a new package that does very, very high performance representation on disk and memory representation of data frames. It's designed for exchanging data frames between environments. So here we'll use Feather to write the data frame out after we've processed it in Python. And now we read it into R and plot it with ggplot. I wanted to emphasize this idea of this notebook system works really well with all of these rich R Markdown formats. So here is an example of a Tufte handout. So I'll execute code. I'm working. I'm building up my different figures that I'm going to use iteratively. Okay. But then when I knit, I'm going to get something very different. I'm going to get this beautiful Tufte handout format that marries notations, side notes, graphics, in a really effective way. Similarly, I've got an R Markdown file that's a dashboard. I'm working on my different plots in the dashboard, making sure they're right. And then when I knit, I get a dashboard. So I really think that marrying this interactive notebook concept with all the output formats we have and will continue to have more of it in R is really, really powerful. Okay, a couple more words on this notebook file format. The source code for a notebook is an RMD file, just like any RMD file you've ever seen. And a notebook can also be rendered into any other R Markdown format, sort of what I just showed. But notebooks also have an associated HTML file that includes the R Markdown source code and the output. So that's the thing that you can, this sort of single artifact that you can share with other people that includes your code and your output. Why HTML? So some of the other notebooks use JSON or other sort of structured formats. I hope it's obvious. There's no special viewer required. You can publish your notebook as an email attachment on Dropbox, on any web server. And it's actually possible to encode all that structured information, the source code, the information about the output chunks, directly inside the HTML file. I referenced this earlier. There are APIs for reading and writing notebooks that are in currently the development version of the R Markdown package. So you could take any RMD file you have, and you can render it as a notebook. You can also parse notebooks, so you can basically take an NBHTML file and pull out the source code and all the information about the chunks. And the idea behind these APIs would be that other front-end tools could create notebook authoring modes for RMD to enhance their existing RMD modes, but also it could be used to create converters between R Markdown notebooks and other types of notebook formats. So what I have showed you today is actually available now in an RStudio preview release. That's the URL for the preview release. You can also just Google RStudio preview. You should get the same URL. And then there's many more details about kind of how notebooks work and the different options you have for working with them in this on the R Markdown website, an article about R notebooks. So that's what I have, and I'd love to entertain questions.
So I guess one thing, I guess I have two challenges for you. First challenge is Mathematica, their notebook, awesome. I mean, and it's focused on the input side.
Yep.
And so I really challenge you to try to move towards that, because I know this is a NIDAR community, everybody writes LaTeX, not the world out there. I mean, being able to have really reasonable input facilities, I mean, makes Mathematica, it's lovely that you have your output, you know, as a text format, doesn't really, I mean, it's important for some things, but not to actually move sort of R forward. And then the second real challenge for you is, I think a decent notebook could really help us with the spreadsheet problem. I mean, if it was easy to input text and data into a notebook like it is to a spreadsheet, I think a lot of my colleagues would move there. Okay. So I think these are both real challenges for you. I mean, it's important to get the infrastructure right, yep, the output format, but the input has to be seamless.
And okay. So you're saying we sort of derived our input from the existing R Markdown editing experience.
Right, which is awful. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, awful. Yeah. In the sense that people use Word, people use Excel.
I know what you're saying. We've sort of had a focus on people writing code and using plain text formats, because there's other advantages to that. But I understand where you're coming from about more structured editing experiences.
So one of the things you demoed is that when you're doing live updating of an individual chunk, that dependent output updates itself automatically. Do you handle updating of sort of preceding chunks? So if I define a variable in the first chunk and then that's used in a later chunk, if I modify the first one, does everything sort of carry?
We don't have it right. I think what we're going to do is overlay some visual cues that invalidation has occurred. And that's I think how we're going to handle that.
Any kind of thing that handles
that. We haven't done that yet.
The existing things.
Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Yep. Thanks, JJ. Thank you.